So, at the beginning of this study, we mentioned that Ecclesiastes and 30,000 Days, a lot of the weeks overlap themes. So when we're up here talking, it's very seamless between what the book says and what Ecclesiastes says. But this week we're going to be a little bit different. And you guys probably noticed that in your homework this week. And Kate's and I's desire for the study is ultimately it would be a Bible study. So we're going verse by verse through a book of the Bible, and we're letting the Bible speak for itself rather than having us pull out verses and force it onto a text or force it into a chapter of the book. And so tonight you'll get time to discuss loving deeply at your tables, don't worry. But I'm going to be talking for the next 10 minutes about the main idea from chapter 7, which is wisdom and folly. So if you guys want to turn with me in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. To begin with, let's remind ourselves of who we're talking about here. We're talking about the preacher. So what we've said in this study is we believe the preacher to be King Solomon, son of David. And when describing Solomon in 1 Kings, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure and breadth of mind like the sand on the seashore, so that Solomon's wisdom surpasses the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt." In many ways, when we hear Solomon's name, one of the things that should immediately pop into our head is wisdom. So when we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, whenever we hear the preacher talk about wisdom, our ears should perk up, as this man, according to the Bible, knows what he's talking about. So now, as you've already seen, wisdom is mentioned numerous times in the first 7 chapters. And so this week, I don't have time to go through all that he's said so far about wisdom, but this week we're going to zoom in on chapter 7. And you'll see the heading for this in your Bibles. It says probably something along the lines of the contrast of wisdom and folly. Throughout these 29 verses in this chapter, the preacher is showing us the different worlds of wisdom and folly, what works, what doesn't work, and what we should pursue, and what is better than what. And in the midst of these verses, the teacher tells us something very interesting in verse 16. If you guys want to look at it, we read, "Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself?" What? I mean, this verse should make us pause and scratch our heads, because in another book of Solomon's, the book of Proverbs, he makes sure to tell us over and over and over that wisdom is to be prized, pursued, and is of utmost importance, that life will go well if we're wise. So why would the teacher tell us here in verse 16 not to be overly righteous and not make ourselves too wise? Is there such a thing? Well, first let's chat wisdom. What is wisdom? My favorite definition is wisdom is knowledge lived out. It's what we're going to do or not do based on what we know. Elsewhere it's been said wisdom is the what. Wisdom often knows what to do, what is right, or what is awry. And wisdom is skill in living life. Now, I don't know about you, but the word wisdom doesn't really come up in my weekly vocabulary, but the core concept of wisdom definitely is in every week. I mean, think about it. We are plagued every day by thousands of questions. I mean, our brains as women, we're just going all the time. So questions like, should I date this guy or not? What parenting style works best for my child? What kind of neighborhood should I live in? Should I take this job? How can I love my neighbor? Should I pursue more education? Who should I vote for? My marriage is on rocky ground. What can I try next to save it? How should I spend my tax return? How can I save enough and plan for retirement? There are literally hundreds and hundreds of questions that circulate in our heads every day, and we all desire to want to know what is the best course of action to take in whatever circumstance we're facing. So again, I ask the question, why would the preacher tell us that there's such a thing as being overly righteous and too wise? Shouldn't we desire to be as wise as we can be? Let's enter into our current culture to answer this question. I don't need to convince you that we're in a knowledge-saturated world. With the ease of the internet, blog articles, news articles, at the click of a button of the, in our phones, in our pocket, we have no shortage of opinions on what it means to live wisely. And what is this wisdom that we are soaking in consciously and subconsciously? Again, I don't think I need to convince you guys. The message on wisdom in our day and age is to find it in yourself. You're your own compass. You're your barometer on truth. Whatever you think is right for yourself, go and do that. Our most valued freedom in our culture is to create our own meaning for life. As Tim Keller says, our culture tells us that you must look inside to discover your deepest desires and dreams and to express those. You must do this yourself and must not rely on anyone outside of you to affirm and tell you who you are. And this is not just in our culture, unfortunately. It has also infiltrated Christianity as well. As a blogger recently lamented regarding a Christian women's conference, instead of Jesus, they were led to our own self-made goals, relying on self-made, self-pumped up, self-motivated energy, I heard over and over that I just need to try harder, to remember that I'm worth it, and try harder to reach my goals and go to yoga and to get over whatever ails me. They said I just have to believe that I am worth it, and I would feel it. And I'm willing to bet, because I know my own heart in this, we like to believe this message. We like to think that we have it in ourselves to do this. And think about it, like 9 times out of 10, when we're faced with a, you know, decision or a course of action, we like typing it into Google. We like calling our friend on the phone. We like to just decide that we're gonna rely on what our heart is telling us to do. Or think about it, when someone comes to you for advice, what do you tell them? We like to rely on our own wisdom, on our own experience, and that they should follow what they feel in their heart is the best course of action. And this is where we need to heed the call of the preacher in verse 16. Being overly righteous, when he says being overly righteous and being too wise, is essentially him saying don't rely on your own strength, wisdom, and skill. Don't think that if you are smart enough or know enough that life will work out according to plan and you can insulate yourself from bad things happening. Don't think that you can know all there is to know about why such and such is happening in your life. The preacher says later in verse 29, you guys can look with me, see this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. The preacher is testing out all these things under the sun, and he says, what he found is that God created humankind to be one way, but instead humankind has gone and tried to find its own way. What an echo of Genesis 3 right here in Ecclesiastes. In Genesis 3 we read, so when Eve saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Instead of trusting in their creator, Adam and Eve, and subsequently all of humanity since then, has been casting God aside and his desires for us, and instead we're wanting to look inward into ourselves and to cast off that which doesn't sit well with us from the Bible and form our own wisdom apart from God. In 1 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul asks these questions. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? And I want to ask you guys the same question tonight. Where is the one who is wise in our culture today? Who are we looking at to tell us what is right and what's wrong? Are we looking to pop culture icons, movie stars, musicians, artists? Are we looking to politicians, news reporters, professors? Are we looking to women's ministry leaders or denominational leaders? Or are we looking inward into our own hearts? I don't want to say that there's no ounce of wisdom that you can be gained from all these people. That's not what I want you to hear. But are they the ultimate source and barometer for how we are to live our lives under the sun? Are they who we're pointing our friends, family, and the world to when they ask us what to do? Because in our day and age, the lines between what is wise and what is folly is oftentimes blurred. Because as we look to the rest of the Bible, we see a man who came to earth 2,000 years ago, a man who Paul described in 1 Corinthians as the wisdom of God. But what we find is that this Jesus, did not come as we would expect, as the people of his day expected. Instead of falling in line with our reasoning, our worldly order, our preferences, he instead brought an upside down kingdom. Instead, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are the meek. Instead, he said, the first shall be last. Instead, he said, take up your cross and follow me. You see, this Jesus who we claim to follow is said to be the wisdom of God. But as we see in the Gospels that tell the story of his life, the religious rulers, the authorities, the people of his day could not understand. And they ridiculed him, and they did not believe him. They scoffed at him when he said the things he said and did the things he did. And honestly, we're not much different in our day today. If a teaching is too hard in our Bible, we chuck it. If our life is not going the way we thought it would, we question God's goodness. We gain the wisdom of this world, we get the education, we deem ourselves wiser than others, and the teaching of an upside-down kingdom doesn't always sit well with us. It's easier to cling to a wisdom of this world that makes sense to us, or a wisdom that is from within, than to cling to and seek first a kingdom that is 180 degrees different than our own. We continue to think that we need something else in addition to Jesus. As we seek to be women who are wise and discerning, will we continue to look around at the world around us, inward to ourselves or up at our Creator? Will we follow an upside-down kingdom? Will we look to Jesus even if what he says is hard, even if we cannot understand why he does what he does, even when the world and our own hearts pull us in different directions? When people come to us for wisdom, what are we giving them? Are we pointing them to the latest book we've read? Are we pointing them to our own knowledge? Are we pointing them to the psychologist we saw on TV? Or are we pointing them to Jesus for wisdom? Are we trying to come up with our answers on our own, looking to make much of ourselves, or how much we know, or are we pointing them to our humble Savior who gives us wisdom through a backwards, upside-down kingdom? May we be women who heed Solomon's advice to not be too righteous and too wise, relying on our own wisdom, but instead may we be women who reflect Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 2, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. How are we making Jesus famous? Paul says that God has made foolish the wisdom of the world, and that God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. May we look to the one who's called the wisdom of God, whose ways are folly to this world, and who calls us to an upside-down kingdom. Let's pray. Father, just pray for us tonight as we seek to be wisdom, women that are led by wisdom. And Lord, in your word it says that Jesus is the wisdom of God, and I pray that he would be our source, that he would be where we turn to first, that your word would so infiltrate our lives that when people ask us about our opinions or when we're trying to decide what course of action to take in our daily lives, Lord, that we would be so saturated in the scripture that what we decide and what we say and what we do would be in line with what Jesus did and what Jesus asked us to be. And so, Lord, tonight I pray as we discuss in our tables about loving each other deeply, I pray that we would keep in mind that ultimately what we want to do is point each other to you and point each other to Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in this time. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this room and pray that we would be women of your word and women of wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.